This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The real question, of course, is will we have herd immunity? And what does that mean, herd immunity? I'm so glad you're with us today for our hour of non-stop talk. I want to welcome to the program, and you know what, Bill, do me a favor if you'd put him up for me because my mouse is broken. Dr. Marty Makary, he is a professor at Johns Hopkins, and of course, he's also a doctor as well, like a real, real doctor. So, doctor, thanks for taking the time today. Good morning.
Good to be with you, Rich.
You are chief medical advisor to Sesame Care. You're also the author of The Price We Pay, and you're also at the Bloomberg School of Public Health as well. You wrote an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal, we'll have herd immunity by April. That's amazing. I'm so excited to hear this, doctor.
Well, I think the key is we've got to keep doing what we're doing, and we can get there fast if we are smart with our vaccine allocation. I don't know if it's going to be April or May. I personally think the end of April, we're going to have very low levels of infection, but we've got to be smart. And that means that we got to focus on first doses of the vaccine. We shouldn't be given second doses while vulnerable seniors can't get their hands on the first doses. We shouldn't be giving the vaccine first in line to people who are already infected with COVID and have natural immunity. If you look at the 77% decline in daily cases over the last 6 weeks, we've got to explain that scientifically somehow, and that explanation is natural immunity from prior infection is more widespread than we probably thought.
Now, I saw you this morning on Fox and Friends, and it was a great question that was asked of you, and I'm going to ask it again, and I'm so grateful you came on the show. Could the 77% drop in the last 6 weeks be due to the fact that it's so cold out and people are not going and getting tested, and therefore the numbers are lower? That's because of the reason.
It could be one of the factors, but here's the thing. No, in November, we had two parts of the country peak. We had New York and North Dakota peak, areas where there's very high seroprevalence of prior infection. In other words, a lot of immunity. Upwards of 50% of those areas have immunity from prior infections. North Dakota, they basically kind of took the Swedish strategy, paid a heavy price for it with mortality. New York, they just got hammered early before people really knew what was going on. They have very high background levels of natural immunity. They peaked in November, and while the rest of the country dealt with a surge in December and January, they did not. They had a steady and steep decline through December and January. So North Dakota and New York's behavior may be a preview of what we're about to see, and that is a relative protective effect when enough people get natural immunity. And you add to that the vaccinated immunity, those numbers are rising fast. I mean, we're at about 15% right now. We could be at 30% by the end of March. Add to that the natural immunity. We're at herd immunity levels by end of April or May, in my opinion.
In your piece in the Wall Street Journal, Dr. Marty, you point out about antibodies. And this is really important to understand, too, is that if somebody had COVID, you know, we're not sure how long the antibodies are there. But as you point out, it's bigger than just the presence of antibodies, right?
That's right. We've always known that the 28 million cases of coronavirus that we've tallied, say, on the Johns Hopkins tracker, we've always known that's not capturing a lot of people who have been infected and go on to have natural immunity. But what is that extrapolation? Is it we've only been capturing and confirming 1 in 3 cases, 1 in 5, 1 in 10? Well, we've generally thought it was about 1 in 10 early in the spring, then maybe got to 1 in 5, 1 in 6 in the summer, and then 1 in 3 to 1 in 4 in the fall. And so if you use those extrapolations, probably 1 in 5 to 1 in 7 cases have been confirmed. And the reason the estimates have been off is that we've been looking at testing in the community using antibodies to try to estimate what that proportion is, what the extrapolation is. It turns out that research from Sweden has shown that you're more likely to develop the activated T cells and not show the antibodies. In other words, get immunity from the T cells having memory than you are from the antibodies. And if you consider those with activated T cells, it's about double. So in other words, if you think 20% of the population has had the infection based on antibody testing, it's probably 40% because another 20% have the activated T cells without the antibodies.
For example, in February, my wife and I were both very, very sick. And we kind of thought, you know, back then, as I think a lot of people did, think it was the flu. And we just kind of figured that. But my wife was really sick, and she never gets sick. And we both had the flu shot. Looking back now, I think it probably was COVID. I know a lot of you probably hear those stories a lot. But I went and got tested for the antibodies over the summer, and it came back negative. The point you're making, though, is that it doesn't mean that I didn't have it, and it doesn't mean that I don't have the T cell response. It just means that the antibodies are not showing up in the test. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's right. Antibodies come and go, and they can linger for years, but they tend to sort of surge in the months following an infection. And it depends on the timing of your testing. You know, if somebody thinks, oh, I may have had it in the spring and they get tested in late summer, those antibodies might be gone, but the activated T cells are still there. And research from Europe shows if you, say, live with somebody who had COVID and they had the infection, but you didn't, and you never had symptoms, you test negative, you wanted to be safe and you get tested, and your test is negative, chances are you may still have the activated T cells. That's what the research from Europe has shown.
This is amazing stuff. Dr. Marty Makary joins me. Dr. Makary, MD, is a professor at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's the chief medical advisor to Sesame Care and the author of The Price We Pay. And his latest piece in the Wall Street Journal opinion is that we could have herd immunity by the spring, which is fantastic. So that's great news. That means that if you've had the virus then, and we didn't know how long you basically would be immune. If you come in contact with it again, the T cell memory is going to kick in, and it's going to keep you from getting the virus again. I mean, that's a fair way to put it, right? I mean, this is all very complicated stuff here, and you do an excellent job of making it easy to understand. So forgive my questions if it sounds very simplistic.
No, I look. I'm having these conversations all the time internally in the medical community, with kind of the old guard medical establishment that says, we don't have data on how effective natural immunity is. And I respond by saying, open your eyes and look, we're not seeing reinfections, okay? Reinfections are less than 1% of people who had the infection. In a study from the UK, they looked at healthcare workers who are around coronavirus all the time. And then 6,600 healthcare workers who were documented to have coronavirus, the COVID-19, less than 1% ever developed a reinfection. And they were around it all the time. So we can conclude then, if you've had the infection, your natural immunity is about 99% effective. And by the way, in that 1% of the time people get reinfected, they're more likely to have a mild case, right? And that's what we care about. We shouldn't be focused as much on preventing the infection as we should about saving lives and preventing death and disability. And if you look at the vaccine trials, for example, they're also, you know, you hear 85, 95, they're 99% effective or higher in preventing COVID death. That's the real outcome we should be following.
Dr. Marty, somebody listening might be skeptical of this and might say, well, yeah, but people aren't getting it because they got it. And so, you know, they're wearing masks, they're social distancing. That's the reason why they're not getting it again.
Well, first of all, I think it's good to have different views out there, and I welcome it. And I could be wrong. I think that, you know, this is my opinion based on extrapolating the data on the underestimations of the prevalence of natural immunity in the literature. But the Google mobility data is out there, and it does show that we've had relatively constant active mobility at a certain level during the different phases of the peak. So if you look at the peak on January 8th, you know, before and after that, we've had some relatively stable mobility. We had a fair amount of travel at different points. We didn't see the gigantic surges that everybody predicted after Thanksgiving, Memorial Day, Labor Day, the 4th. you know, the BLM demonstrators, the political rallies. We did see an increase in cases in certain pockets, but we didn't see it influence giant surges, right? And I personally just don't think, and again, my opinion, that we've seen a sudden change in behavior on January 8th. We've seen a 77% reduction in daily cases since that date. Did people suddenly wear masks and social distance? No, I think people's behaviors have been relatively constant.
I mean, this is amazing. I'm so happy to hear this, Dr. Marty, because this, you know, this means that the nightmare is almost over, and that the natural immunity that people have will, as you write, will persist for decades after the pandemic is over. And you cite the Spanish flu data in that too. Can you also tell us about what you discovered with the researchers in the Lancet and the Brazilian city that you cite in there? What did we discover there?
So researchers have identified that this city in Brazil called Manaus has actually developed herd immunity. They're at rates of, you know, prior of immunity of 76% from prior infection. It just sort of ripped through that city. And what they found is that even though there were some small outbreaks after that, the rate of infection was relatively very low. Now that we're following the Brazilian strain that could pose a risk, and these new variants could be a threat. The Brazilian ones is the one I'm watching the most. But look at the UK and South Africa. We were told it was going to be the downfall of Western civilization. Look at what's happening in the UK, where the UK strain is dominant. An 82% reduction in daily cases over the last 6 weeks. South Africa, a 90% reduction. Reductions greater than we've seen in the United States. So the tools we have, masking, distancing, and the vaccines, are effective against the new strains.
You also said this morning something fascinating. How many people do you think have actually had the virus and didn't know that they had it?
I think it could be one in two Americans. If you look at, you know, T-cell activation in people who felt great, may have even tested negative, or in reality, many people just didn't get testing, right? It's been hard over the summer. Remember, all these people over the summer and the spring, we fought like crazy to try to get testing. It was hard. We were supply constrained, right? We were behind the eight ball. We were pulling on the same supply on the same global supply chain for reagents and testing swabs and other things. And so testing was hard. And people still got the infection. They still developed natural immunity. And I think we're naive to read our Johns Hopkins tracker and say 28 million cases is all the cases that we have had in the U.S.
Last thing I'll ask you, and I know you're very busy, you're in high demand, and I'm so grateful for your time today, Dr. Makary. I can't thank you enough. You write that what we should be thinking about now as we're getting people vaccinated is, you say, we should reopen schools. We should limit the damage of closures and prolonged isolation. You write, contingency planning for an open economy by April can deliver hope to those in despair and to those who have made large personal sacrifices. Now, that's music to my ears, and I agree with that 100%. But my governor, Phil Murphy, said the other day he would do more reopening but for the variants.
Well, I think we have to look at the data on the variants, right? And the data on the variants in the UK and South Africa show that it, you know, they're way down. And just because a variant is going to be more common doesn't necessarily mean that it's something we cannot control. It's pretty clear, and I agree with Scott Gottlieb on this, is that we're not going to see a surge due to a variant this spring. Now, the fall may be a different story, and hopefully, you know, I think the fall might look like a bad flu season. We'll probably have an adjusted vaccine that hopefully can address that. We may have to put our masks back on in the fall as we brace for what's, you know, maybe a seasonal coronavirus. We'll see. We'll wait and see. But for now, you know, loneliness is one of the big epidemics in medicine, and it's dominant, and it predated COVID, and it's been magnified during COVID. And we've got to rebuild communities because loneliness affects your physiologic reserves. And with kids, it can result in suicide. A kid is 10 times more likely to die of suicide than coronavirus. Just ask the county in Nevada that had to reopen their school district after they saw 18 suicides in their area. The CDC guidelines are a scientifically flawed disaster. This is a settled science. It's a purely political issue. They created testing requirements and links to background levels of cases we don't use for anything else. They're not based on science. And if we applied them to the airline industry, where adults safely sit shoulder to shoulder with masks, we'd ground every plane in the United States. It's a disgrace what we're doing, treating our kids like this.
Well said. Dr. Marty Makary, professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine and Bloomberg School of Public Health, I thank you so much for this. We'll post a link to your opinion piece. We will have herd immunity by April. Thank you, doctor. Keep up the great work. Really, truly appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Rich.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!